praise you and we give you glory tonight. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Yes, thank you, Jesus. I would say to you that I am more than enough. I would say to you that you should agree with me. For I am the God that is more than enough. I am not the God that is not enough. I am not the God that is just enough. I am the God that is more than enough. Stay in your receiving mode, and you will see my hand of plenty. Very shortly, things will turn a corner. For you, for many. But for those who have hard hearts, those who complain, those who are disagreeable, they will not see. Not because I'm holding back. I am the God of more than enough for all of my children. But I would say to you that they step out of the receiving line when they say and behave as if I'm not. So I would say to you, get up, get in your receiving line, and receive all that I have for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. I praise you and I give you glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We bless you tonight. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Glory to God. Well, I'm taking that. The God of more than enough. That's El Shaddai. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to James 1:5. Praise the Lord. Thanks for coming out on Wednesday. We're going to have a good night. We're going to do some interesting things. The Lord, I've been praying about some things, and we're going to probably see some shifts very shortly in some of the style, way we do things. Won't change the message, but we're going to be working on some things. Oh, Father, thank you, Jesus. James 1:5, but if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it to all liberally and with no reproach. So he'll give it to you. And he's not criticizing you. Amen. He'll give it to you. It shall be given. So we can ask for wisdom. Now Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Tonight I want to talk to you about some wisdom that, if followed, will give you uncommon success. And so the Bible said here to ask for wisdom. So asking is good. Asking is seed for receiving. You ask and you'll receive. It's proof of humility. Asking is really the only evidence of real faith. Asking, declaring, decreeing, those things. That's where real faith is shown. It says wisdom is the principal thing. That means wisdom is the main thing. So we need to get wisdom. There's two ways to get wisdom. Number one is mistakes. And the other way is mentors. Of course, we see mentors in the Word of God being a mentor, the leaders being a mentor, and so on. But, you know, I would certainly rather have a mentor than just make mistakes and just have to learn by experience. Amen? The quickest way to get wisdom is to learn from someone who's already succeeded in what you're looking at, particular things that you're looking at, because you can learn something in 2 hours that would take you 70 years if you had to do it by experience. And so, you know, the Bible's the main book, of course. And I want to say this to you. Having a father who is articulate, perceptive, passionate, and discerning does not guarantee success. Even though we have our wonderful Heavenly Father, we can see that mentors and fatherhood it wants to, but doesn't always produce what needs to be done. What, for example, Absalom and Solomon. Here we have one was a fool. He wanted to get rid of his father, and the other was the wisest man who ever lived on the earth. So my point here is that I cannot change your life until I change whose voice you honor. We have to honor the voice of the word, the voice of our leaders, the voice of good teachers, and so on and so on. And, you know, that certainly includes Holy Spirit. And, but I want to say this to you about mentors. Having a mentor who knows your weakness and is willing to endure until you unleash your gift and strength will not necessarily change your world. You know how I know that? Because John the Beloved and Judas had the same mentor. Right? Jesus was their mentor, but they both turned out differently because there's some things they chose. So we could have people in here that can hear all the word that is spoken. They can get teaching. They can get advice. They can get training. And some may go all the way to the top and some may go out the door and say, they never did anything for me. You know, it just depends. And I mean, you see that all over the church, not just our church. You see that over the world. And so, insanity is what? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting the same results. So you can't blame the mentor or the teacher. You've got to be a receiver. Amen. And so if you've been in the same place for a long time, if you haven't had any progress, no success, it's time for a change then. And so there are some things you need to understand. And I'll just tell you a couple of them. Pain never produces change. That's a lie of the enemy. Pain produces the desire for change, but it doesn't produce the change. Knowledge produces change. Wisdom, getting into some wisdom. Time does not teach. It does not teach. You know how I know that? Because there are 90-year-old sinners and 15-year-old Christians. Right? There are 25-year-old millionaires and 80-year-old paupers. So it doesn't matter. The age is not what cuts it. It's going to be the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, the willing to receive, the willing to be trained, the willing to be mentored, the willing to move, being willing to move forward. That's going to change you. Amen. The change is going to come when you get concrete, vivid knowledge of what to honor and who to honor. This is really big, and people pass over this every day. Hey, preacher. Hey, you know, I mean, that's just an example. I mean, would you walk up to, let's pick an older president, Ronald Reagan. Hey, Ronald, how you doing? No way. Mr. President. It's an honor issue, see? It's an honor issue. People don't call the pastor because they want them to. It's they on their side. It's a matter of honor. You're drawing out what's in them. If you don't call me that, I don't give you that. Not because I don't want to, I'm just not aware. But there's something spiritual that goes on. Okay, so having a mentor who knows your weakness may not just cut it. Amen? You have to be able to do something. So tonight, I want to give you 7 laws that you must honor to have uncommon success. 7 laws. Are you ready? The number one is the law of difference. The law of difference. What is your difference? Every business tries to establish difference. You want to have something different about you. You need to allow the Lord to work on you in this. Your difference is your success. Your similarity creates a comfort zone. What you do love that others hate is going to help bring you success. What do you love that other people hate? It'll change your life if you get involved in it. What makes you uncomfortable? What makes you laugh? What environment do you flourish in? All things to think about. And listen, if you don't know your distinctive difference, if you're like, I don't know how I'm different, then you're never going to discern what other people need from you. You need to be able to see who you are. It's important from God, to God, for you to see who you are and see how you are different than other people. We're not looking for cookie cutter here. We're looking to see the difference in you and what what can be pulled out of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all receive that? And so you need to know that. You're going to just become a hostage to what someone wants you to be instead of what you really are if you don't. Well, you need to be this. You need to find out who you are. Why are you distinctive? What is it about you? You know, just imagine the eternal task of trying to teach a cat to bark. Right? I know some of y'all saw, I saw it on YouTube. They did it. But really, that's not what they do. So you can't, there's things that it's going to be an eternal task to try to teach me to be a certain way. I'm not talking about character. I'm not talking about growing in those. I'm talking about our bents, our tendencies, what we flow in, how we do things. There's a lot of things about you I don't want to change. I just want to see it come out of you. Amen? You receive that? So you have to study yourself. You have to look at yourself and you discover what your difference is. God placed a part of himself on the inside of you. You have some part of DNA in you that no one else possesses, and you got to find out what it is. Number two, the law of the mind. Your mind is your garden. You grow fruit for the future there. You pull the weeds, you kill the snakes, you plant the flowers. It's your greatest investment on earth. Your mind is your greatest investment on earth. So take care of your mind. And then you can take care of everyone else. Church, this is hard for the religious, but your mind is more important than everyone else. It's more important than people. Because if you don't get your mind right, you can't help people. You know, when the mask comes down, put yours on first. Or you're not going to help people. You're going to have to know that you got to be breathing to help someone. You got to have yourself in the right mindset to be able to help someone. So it needs to focus. Here's the thing. Your mind needs to focus on a project. Yeah, it does. It needs to focus on a project. You need to be working on something. Your mind has two parts. It has your memory. And it replays the past. And you have an imagination which pre-plays your future. So you can, when you're replaying the past, you need to replay all the good stuff that God's done. The blood has washed the rest of it away. But you need to pray, look what God has done. Look where God has brought us. Look how good God has been to me. And then, boy, I just had the Lord said this to me. Well, how good did you do in the last 20 years? I said, well, there's good things. I've accomplished some things that our teachers taught us that we needed to accomplish. Debt freedom, things like that. He said, what you going to do in the next 20? That's what I'm focusing on. What are we going to do in the next 20? How much better is it going to be? What all can we do? Amen. But we have to take care of our minds, and God wants to give us pictures so that we won't regress or deteriorate into the past. And no, I am not hurt. It heard me yelling, I guess, and it, are you okay, SOS? So your mind is having a constant conversation. You know that when you're getting ready in the morning and you're making yourself all party and everything, the devil's going to try to come in there and tell you something because he talks. We were just talking about this. He's trying to get in. He's trying to give you thoughts. But what are you focusing on? It needs instruction. Speak to your mind. Harness your thinking. Listen, you gotta know that your mind is always working. When you're sitting there eating cereal, what are you doing? Reading the box. You're reading the cereal box. Why? Because you want to bring something in. You're always wanting to bring, you want information. You want to do something. So put something good in there. Also, your mind needs a hero. Your hero decides your energy. It decides your endurance, your experiences. Find a hero. Find someone who succeeded at where you want to go. Who did what you want to do? When you get in your bent and you're doing your bent, who accomplished what you want? That's what you need to do. You need to find that person and listen to what they're saying. Walk through your house. Look on your wall. Who is your hero? Who do you see on your wall? Jesus is on my wall. Amen. I have a picture of him in there. Praise the Lord. Evidently, Thomas Kincaid got a part. Randy Rudman got a part. You know, painters. Praise the Lord. But who's on your wall? Who's in your thinking? I mean, kids are always putting up posters of who their heroes are. Who's your hero? Praise the Lord. I have no doubt that you know who my hero is. That blue-eyed preacher in Fort Worth is my hero. And one of them's in heaven, Pastor John. They're my heroes. And boy, they accomplished things, didn't they? Yes. Didn't. And Brother Copeland still is. Brother Copeland is 86 and he's going all over the world. Praise God. Number three, the law of recognition. The law of recognition. Everything you want is already in this world. The most important thing is inspiration. Everything you need is already visible right now. You have to find it. You have to locate it and dominate it in your mind and dominate your mind with it. Church, if you locate three things every morning that inspire you and you put them in front of you, your problems will drop off to almost nothing. Just put three things in front of you. Three things that you love. Get some sound and color in your life. Three things about God. Three things about something you enjoy. How many of y'all like to go outside in the morning? Well, there you have it. There's some butterflies, some hummingbirds, some, everybody, y'all went hummingbirds. I mean, Pride of Barbados growing up in the back. You see the canis through the fence and off in the distance what's that pink one? Where's John? What's that pink one we have back there? What?
Bougainvillea.
Yeah. And that one's back there. The deer ate the hibiscus, but they're coming back. But I was looking up at the sky today and the clouds were barely moving, but I thought, how bright is this sky? I mean, there's just things you can look at that can help get your mind right. But you know, just put something before you instead of another day, another dollar or not. You know, I mean, come on. This is the only life you got. This is going to be over before you know it. You're going to be in heaven. You're going to see Jesus. Do something with it. Amen.
Amen.
There's nobody waking up every day trying to make you happy. Nobody. Nobody's trying to do that. That's why criticism shouldn't bother you. Amen. That's the only time they thought of you is when they criticized you and they went on with your life and you're going to sit around and think about it. Nope. Learn to recognize your mentor. Learn to focus on the right thing. Get past all that other stuff. I'm rolling in case y'all didn't notice. The Pharisees did not recognize that Jesus was the Christ, but Zacharias did. I'm sorry. Zacchaeus did. I'm getting in a hurry. Zacchaeus did. He saw who Jesus was. He recognized him. Elisha recognized Elijah. He went, I better follow him. That person's carrying something I need. I see something. I've seen this over my life. I did it myself. I walked right out that door and followed John Holler out of the church. Yep. Out of our church. I said, I'm supposed to go with you. And he's like, because you know, I'm jumping the fence. Not really. I didn't really jump the fence. He just felt like it for a moment. We were all in one group. I have a witness here. We were working through building three churches and we were actually from the San Marcos church and had stayed in the Lockhart church. When he came along, I was like, I just know he's the one I got to go to. We inherited the other person and we had to go. But you just knew you had that draw. I mean, I could not leave Rachel Calvary behind. Wherever I went, she showed up. Since 1994, Rachel's been showing up everywhere I've been. And I sure am glad. Praise the Lord. And I'm glad she brought John too, you know. Just kidding, just kidding. Praise the Lord. So, recognize a protege. They're very different from a parasite. When you're helping someone, get the difference. A parasite wants you to sponsor them and pay their bills. A protege wants you to direct, teach, and train them. Parasites want what's in your hands. Proteges want what's in your heart. Amen? That's just the truth. Number four, the law of two. The law of two is about agreement. Did you know that Satan did not show up there in the garden at the tree until Eve came? He was standing out there by himself. He needed somebody to get something going. See, two are better than one, and the Bible says a threefold cord cannot quickly be broken. Why is that law so important? Why is the law of two important? Well, for one thing, you're only four people away from any person on this earth, from any human on this earth. Okay? So I was in Cozumel a few years ago, and we were staying at this place that we really liked down there. So we had a real estate agent who became our friend, and so he took us, he was showing a house, and he takes us with him, and so we thought that'd be fun. And so we went to the house, and I met a man who worked for the president of Mexico. And so I'm one, and then I know him. And so that makes he's two, and that he knows the president, so that's three. So I was just one person away from the president of Mexico. You ever think about that? I was just one person away. One time some friends of mine had a situation and they needed to talk to Brother Copeland. And they called me. You're the only person I know that could possibly get through. And guess what? I'm only one person away from Brother Copeland. So, and y'all know who she is. And so I called her and the next thing I know, she called him and he helped them. When you're just one person away, things can move. The power of two, who you know is important. It's important. And I'll be your two if you need agreement for something. Well, you needed the power of two so that two of you can agree on earth and change anything. So there's the other half of that. It's important who you know. People change your life. Amen?
Yes, they do.
David was one enemy away from the throne. Naomi was one conversation. Ruth was one conversation away with Naomi to her Boaz. All she had to do is say, I'll go where you go. I'll lodge where you lodge. Your people will be my people. That's all she had to do was state that, and boom, she's in. She's in the covenant land, and here comes Boaz. You don't even know who you could see tomorrow who could change your life. But I want to add something to that right there. You need to be the life changer. Well, if my parents would do this for me. Well, if the kids would. No, no. You. You're the one. You're the one. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. The law of place. Number five. The law of place. God made places before he made people. He created the Garden of Eden before he put Adam in it. He always makes a place for you. Church, there's a place for you. Barbara Streisand sang about it. Actually, it's an old Broadway song. There's a place for us. You know, I'm not even going to attempt that. But the truth is there is a place for you. God's already created that place, and your prosperity is in that place. It's not following you around. You just need to get to that spiritual place. You need to get to that spiritual house. You need to get to your spiritual people, and prosperity will begin to break out on every side if you'll receive it. Well, I'm the only one in the church that nothing's changing for. Oh, really? Well, that doesn't go with what we're talking about. You might as well agree with what I'm saying. Go ahead and win. places matter more than anyone dreams. Because your provision in there is there. Everything you want is somewhere. Every time God talks about obedience, he talks about a place. Abraham, go here. Jacob, go here. It's always go here. Jesus recognized that he wasn't going to get what he needed to get done if he lived in Nazareth. He had to go to Capernaum. He had to live in Capernaum. If you're going to get something done, you got to go to where God wants you to get it done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Obviously, you're here. Praise God. So, go where you're celebrated and not where you're tolerated. And you're going to succeed there. And remember, look, giants are not a sign of your exit from Egypt. That's not what they are. They're a sign of your entrance into Canaan. You're going to face some giants. You're going to face some stuff. The devil will try to come against you, faith person, but you have already won. You've already defeated him. You are the righteousness of God. Don't let him condemn you and bring false guilt on you or anything else. You're free. Well, you don't know what I did the other day. Well, that's behind you. It is history. Number six, the law of honor. Who do you choose to honor? The reason you have wisdom is to identify who you should honor. The prisons are full because they are not taught who to honor. So many people are not taught. They won't honor this. They won't honor that. Oh, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to mind the teacher. That's where it starts. Hello. It's the truth right there. I don't have to do what you say. I'll just do whatever I want to. And then those are the ones you end up seeing in jail later. So, praise the Lord, that'll preach. So, you can trace every failure back to someone not knowing who to honor. Find out the three people that, this is not for most of you, but we'll just say this for those of you who are future dating someone. A couple people in here are going to go that way pretty soon. My suggestion to you would be to find out the three people the person you're dating honors. I would find out when if I was church shopping, which you need to go where God calls you to. But if I were looking and I didn't know how to do that, I would be looking for who do they honor at that church? Are they honoring people with integrity? When you read a book, read the foreword. You need to know who that person honored and who's honoring them. Because if this says a bunch of people that you know, praise the Lord. That's good right there, isn't it? See, you know, if I know who you honor, I will instantly be able to predict your future. It's that easy. You can tell if someone honors someone, what their life is going to be like. Amen? I can tell you the level of wisdom that you're on by who you honor, by how you treat people, by what you say. And every one of you can tell too about other people. You can tell really quickly. Wisdom is not discerned by how many books you write or how many people like you. Wisdom is discerned by knowing who you have chosen to honor. Amen. The sons came and they honored Jacob and Israel spoke. Amen. You remember that? You know, Jacob is Israel. Praise the Lord. Go study that. So people talk so much about spiritual fathers and having a position. Spiritual fathers actually discern their sons and daughters by the honor that's been given to them. They understand. They can discern things about them. They can understand. They can sense that following or not. Amen. Good leaders consider and ignored instruction to be the highest level of dishonor. God did too. So, the law of honor is so important. Who have I failed to honor? And how can I change that? That's a question I have to ask myself. Look, let's step off into this right now. It's so important. The purpose of the tithe is not really to buy the light bulbs for the church. The divine purpose of the tithe is to document and photograph your level of honor to God. Because if you don't honor God with finances, you don't honor God with your heart. Well, I heard a couple of grunts there, but you should say amen about that. Amen. It's taking a picture of who you are. It's letting people know that you're putting God first, because your time is your life and you make money with your time. And so when you honor him with your first fruits, you're actually showing him, I put you first. Oh, well, we don't need to tithe. We're New Testament. We don't need to tithe. What a poor excuse not to honor. Right. Jesus said you ought to have done this and the other things. Exactly. Amen. Amen. So my tithe talks louder than 10,000 devils.
Boom.
Yes. Amen. Amen. 10,000 devils can come up and accuse you. They can talk to you. They can say all kinds of things to you. And God will just say, excuse me, let me check the tithe. And I can prove how much they honor me.
Wow.
Amen. God looks at the tithe as a documentation of honor. Number 7, the last one, the law of the seed. You knew that was coming. You are one seed away from something you've passionately been pursuing. One seed away. Something in your hand controls your future. Your seed can go where you cannot go. It goes right into your future. The law of the seed is simply means something you have been given will create something else that you have been promised. Amen. God gives you the seed, does he? Amen. The law of the seed simply means something you have been given. God gave you a seed, and it'll create something else that you've been promised. That's good. So, church, learn to give your seed an assignment. Pay to your future. Pay is a strange word, probably. Give to your future. Sow to your future. Amen. It works. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for it. Learn to give your seed that assignment. And if you expect nothing, then you're going to get nothing. If you're like, oh, you know, I just give because I love. I don't need anything in return. That's really the highest form of selfishness. Because if you would go ahead and receive the return, then you could give more. Because you would get a harvest, and then you'd be able to give more. It's about love. Because if you don't have enough, you can't do anything for people. But if you have something, you can. You can be called upon and said, I'll pitch in on that. I'll do this. I'll do that. We can do this. We can help that happen. But if you don't have anything, you can't do it. If you hold on to everything, you're going to lose. But if you let it go, you're going to win. Amen. And you should do that as the Spirit leads you, not because someone's emotionally trying to get you to. So as we close tonight, we're going to receive our offering here. And find something to put it in tonight. I want you to think about it. Find something to give right now. I know some of you pay your tithes online, but find something to give right now. And if you don't have anything, raise your hand. I'm going to give you something. I mean, just get a dollar from me. Susanna, run up here and pass these out to anyone who needs to just give some. I need to take one myself. Pass those out to anyone who needs something. So you found something to give. Now find something to put it into. We've just talked about these 7 laws. We've just talked about getting these things rolling. We've talked about honoring. How about even just the eyes of our understanding being enlightened to really get a hold of what we just talked about? Because I know I really said it pretty fast, but I think y'all can think fast. Y'all heard fast. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Susanna. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to declare anointed words over our seeds. And I want you to listen to what I'm going to declare because this is going to feed into Sunday. Okay? All right. Everybody ready? Everybody have something? Okay. Now, Father, we thank you for every tither right now. And we thank you, Lord, that we honor you with that. And now I pray this too. Father, I declare that whatever seed each person has sown tonight will come to them in a harvest by Sunday morning. And if they sow $1 above the tithe, I declare a hundredfold return over the seed. As the harvest comes in, they'll recognize that you have honored the seed with a harvest. So we're going to honor him and he's going to honor this seed right now. I declare that they will bravely take that harvest and invest it as a seed on Sunday morning. As they sow the seed on Sunday, I will then declare that they will have 24 months of financial authority. We will call for breakthrough, but that is only an experience. We will call for miracles, but a miracle has an ending. We will call for an anointing is a movement for a reason, but most of all, we will call for authority. Authority is a position of control and influence. We will use the law of two and agree together that everything we will have to bow to the anointing that is in us. We will experience 24 months of unprecedented financial authority. We will make a declaration that we will be walking magnets for financial favor in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Let's receive it. Now, we've spoken those words. You're going to get a harvest off this by Sunday. And then God's going to require it of you. And you're going to put it in. And you are going to turn on 2 years. Because the Spirit of the Lord gave me this to do over you. And you're going to have 2 years of wonderful blessing. And it's going to go on and on and on and on and on and on. But you're going to miraculously see it. Hey. Hallelujah. If you would like to give online, if you're watching right now and you want to get in on this, text VCHL and the amount you want to give to 73256. Click the link and complete your gift. What could you do if you were blessed? We're not doing this just because we're trying to get money. What we're doing is we want to be able to help people. Pastor Deb and I just drove to Fort Worth and back yesterday because we were able to take a whole lot of material to Sergio and Yvette who have a ministry in Juarez, Mexico. And so they're teaching ladies how to sew. And they're going to be sewing up all these things with all this material that Miss Pauline gave. Yeah. And so some folks in the church pitched in on the gas money. Why? Because they had some.
Glory.
And if we didn't have the gas, we couldn't go. We do. But I mean, we have to think like that.
Yeah.
We need to think. And now there's a harvest coming for those who paid our way to go coming back. And then we stood out in the KCM parking lot. They both worked there. And we prayed over that and God blessed it. And this whole church is going
to
see a harvest over it.
Glory to God.
Amen. You have all given to the ministry a lot. And you're going to see a result from that. And what you've sowed here, you're going to see a result. Believe God for it, church. Apply the seven laws. Believe God. Believe God that he's put something special in you. Amen.
Yes.
There's something special in you that God wants to turn the light on.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Believe it.
Amen.
Now, do you believe that the seed you sowed could come back in a harvest by Sunday?
Yes.
You believe it?
Yes.
Okay. It's going to happen. Hey, God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye. Praise the Lord. Who has a pen? Everyone find a pen. We're going to have some fun tonight. Okay. Jesse passed